Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and this is your show. Jerry Usher will be back tomorrow to do the punctuation mark, what would it be show, because he really wanted to be on that show tomorrow. Today, you have me for our monthly Unscripted. That's right, super popular show. For every single month, we open the phone lines. We don't come prepared with any particular topic. You bring the topics to the table, so you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Here's how it works. Matt Gubinsky is ready to answer your calls about anything about the faith, church, relationships, any relationship, something you want to share, maybe a new product you bought at EWTNRC.com and you want to share what that's all about and how it impacted your spiritual life. How about suggest a future topic? Because we are finishing the summer calendar. Yep, we're almost done with the summer calendar. So if you'd like to suggest a topic, how about revisit a past subject that we covered here on Take Two? Maybe you have some suggestions for us going into the fall that you want to talk about, or there's something on your mind or your heart that you want to pray for or you want to bring up. And I have the prayer book out. So you have me today, the entire hour. I have you, but I need you to call in. This is your show, Unscripted, for June. This is the only time we do this, once a month. It's the end of June. Can you believe it? I cannot believe it. And maybe you want to talk about how you entered in deeply to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, given that this is the month. Next month is the Precious Blood. Absolutely amazing time in our church. This has been a fabulous summer. A lot of people got into deep prayers for the summer. That was wonderful. We heard from the Take Two family. This is the final opportunity to talk. Well, not the final. You could talk about it anytime you want. It's your show. But June was our anniversary month, so we celebrated 9 years of Take Two. Maybe you're part of the Lunch Bunch group and you want to call in and say you were originals, or you always share your lunch hour with us. Maybe it's your breakfast time in out on the West Coast, but we'd like to hear from you. Maybe you're an international listener. We have a lot of listeners from the UK. You guys are amazing. You send us the most beautiful emails. Please call in 833-288-3986. Maybe you are a priest, a bishop, or a deacon, a permanent deacon. Maybe you're a religious sister and you would like to weigh in on what's going on in the world or something that you'd like to share with the Take Two family. It's a very big family. So now is the time to do it. There goes the phone lines on your Unscripted. This is your opportunity. So I'm super excited. So let's see. Let me just make sure you guys know what I'm looking at. I'm seeing the phone calls come in. Matt Gubinsky's answering. We've got Michael McCall on social media. I'm waving to everybody. Get your chats there going, because that is a wonderful way to add your comments. And I'm looking right there, and there's no comments yet. So you can get yours right in. And Charles Beery is, and I'm waving to all you guys. Yes, I'm waving to all of you. Charles Beery is on the controls, making me sound hopefully crystal clear. I just wanted to make sure, because the Unscripted show goes very fast. So I just want to make sure we highlight the saint of the day, Saint Cyril of Alexandria, doctor of the church. So we're trying to do saint of the days, some that are well known, some that are lesser known. But yes, so we ask Saint Cyril of Alexandria to please pray for us and all of our intentions, things that are on our mind and our heart and urgent in our lives. Okay, so I just got two messages coming in. You guys are asking me how I'm doing with my eye. I'm still having problems with my right eye, so hang in there with me. Please pray to St. Lucy and to Padre Pio and Carlo Acutis, Blessed Carlo, soon to be St. Carlo Acutis. Please, if you can continue to pray, it would help if I could use my right eye. That would help. So I do have wonderful doctors looking into it. So it's a result of the treatments that I've had. So it's, you know, it is what it is. We learn to let suffering work for us spiritually rather than against us. If you want to talk about that, you can ask me any questions you want. I'm pretty much of an open book. I really don't have anything to really hide or be, you know, careful about in this time of my life. I'm pretty much, you know, I'm looking back on my whole life, because I'm going to be 59 this year. I can't believe it. Time flies. The kids grow up too fast and they move out of the house. They have kids of their own. Maybe that's what you want to talk about. Okay. So it's Unscripted. dial this number. Remember, you do not have to be Catholic to call in. 833-288-3986. Let's say hello to Amanda. Amanda's in Illinois on Sirius XM 130. Amanda, you are first up on the June Unscripted. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call. I'm about to go into an important lunch here, so I'm going to have to be as quick as I can. But okay. I wanted to share this story that happened recently at my grandparents' super small, like very, very small parish in Michigan. Mm-hmm. It was on Corpus Christi, so really not that long ago here. And the priest that was there was giving a homily on the Eucharist and God's real presence in the Eucharist. And my grandparents said that, you know, they thought and everyone thought, you know, it was like a homily that he has never, like, spoken before, like, super passionate, like, you could feel the Holy Spirit. And, like, he almost, like, wasn't totally present there. It was like he was literally being, like, at one with God in that moment. Mm-hmm. And he, during his homily, like, toward the end, you know, he was speaking passionately about God's real presence in the Eucharist and how could you ever doubt that and da-da-da. And their crucifix is a super small parish. He went over and kissed the feet of Jesus on the crucifix. Mm-hmm. And I guess started to feel a little funny, and he walked to the first pew and said, "I need to rest." And he collapsed and passed away right there.
Wow.
And I thought that was, it's a very, very small parish, mostly older people in a retired community. And so I'm kind of like, why isn't this like news? Mm-hmm. To me, this is like, you know,
Hold on, Amanda. I know you've got to get into that meeting. Can you just wait like 3 more minutes or no? Real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Hang on, because we've got to talk about this. I think I might have read something about this. So let's talk about it. This is the June Unscripted. Please call us 833-288-3986, and I'll be right back. This is our June Unscripted here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and I have one open phone line. So if you feel a prompting of the Spirit, please call in. You can talk about anything. We're speaking with Amanda from Illinois. I'll get back with Amanda in just a moment. She's sharing a story about a priest that passed away after he gave a very powerful homily on the Eucharist. And I just wanted to ask her about that. She's got to go into a meeting, so I'm going to go quick. But I'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Wings is EWTN's weekly newsletter. Find out about EWTN radio and TV shows, items from the EWTN religious catalog, and lots more. Sign up for Wings at EWTN.com and click on subscribe. I love EWTNRC.com, the religious catalog. I buy like pretty much, I just love it. It's a great way. I know people are starting to think, I know they are because I've seen it in the stores. People are already thinking about what they're going to do for Christmas. So it's a great opportunity for you to check out EWTNRC.com. Maybe you can get some beautiful spiritual gifts for people. Okay, Amanda in Illinois, let's get back to you. This is very fascinating. Okay, and I feel so bad of this priest passing. It must have been very hard on your parents and the community there to watch this priest pass. However, you said that he gave this really strong homily on the Eucharist, and it was almost like, I don't want to put words into the story, but like it wasn't even him maybe speaking. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit in those last moments, especially of a priest, I think is very profound. And so it, you know, interestingly enough, they say that sometimes people know, or it's already, when people are going to pass, there's already a movement ahead of time, you know, of the passing. And so I find that fascinating that he gave this powerful homily and then he passed. And so tell us what happened to the community. How did they feel? I just want to make sure I got this correct. I saw an article, or it was a podcast just a couple days ago, about a priest that passed away at Mass, and he had some final words. Is that the same priest?
I am not sure. This was on Corpus Christi, in a little town called Sawyer, Michigan. But I tried looking stuff up on it. I figured eventually it would kind of get picked up by the news, but I wasn't able to find a whole lot on it, which is why I kind of wanted to just share the story.
Right.
The parish that he's from in Chicago, when they shared his obituary on the Facebook page, they kind of just said he passed away while celebrating Mass, and I just kind of thought to myself, but it's more than that. Like, you know, he gave this passionate homily for a reason. Like, let's, you know, share it. And so that's kind of why I wanted to share it with everyone.
Well,
I know you probably can't just take my word for it, but,
Absolutely. But let me share something, Amanda. There are a lot of very mystical, very deep things that happen with priests and with the religious that never get reported on the news. So absolutely. But can you share? I really would want to put him in the prayer book. Can you share his name?
Yeah, I know that he went by Father Ed.
Father Ed. Okay.
I know he went by Father Ed, and yeah, I mean, it was, when it happened, my grandparents said that, you know, I think everybody was just kind of shocked, so they didn't even, like, think to pray a rosary. They just, everybody was just saying the Hail Mary over and over and over again,
sure.
And yeah, so I mean, you know, very sad and everything, and especially for the family, but, you know, like, it's also a very beautiful way for a priest to pass.
Well,
you know,
yeah, exactly. And that's what I was getting at about how fascinating it is of his passing. Because if you look at the lives of the saints, Amanda, but right before they were ready to pass away, before they, like, you, take Padre Pio, for instance, he called out to his mother and the Blessed Mother because they were right there. So the veil is very, very, very thin prior to passing away is what I was getting at. So it makes sense that this priest was having this very deep homily that he was given. I mean, if you think of it in that aspect, he was so close, right, to the other side, and so probably a lot of the Holy Spirit was coming through him at that point, if that's the way to describe it. But you see what I'm saying? So that's why that your family, you know, was probably listening to this going, boy, this doesn't sound like a usual homily. This is much different. And so, because he was already so close to the other side, that's what I was getting at. I find that so beautiful and fascinating about our Lord, that it's not this stark transition, if you will. It's this beautiful passing from this side to the other side, especially if there's a faith and a deep holiness. So Amanda, I feel bad for the parish community, but they're always going to remember it. And I'm sure it brought so many closer to the Eucharist, especially being on Corpus Christi. Final words on this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, what? For sure. Just, you know, very beautiful. And I just wanted to share, you know, the story, and maybe it'll affect someone listening.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, he's truly present. Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Amanda, if anything comes up and you get more information, we'd love to continue to tell this story. If you could email us at take2@ewtn.com. Okay, now I know you got to get to your meeting, so I hope it's a productive one.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. See, that's what I love about the Take Two family. You guys keep us informed about what's going on in the world. That's what you can use this show for, especially the unscripted. 833-288-3986. Amanda just freed that phone line, talking about Father Ed that passed right after he gave a very powerful homily on the Holy Eucharist. Okay, Anne is up next in Buffalo, New York, on our friends at the Station of the Cross. Hi, Anne. Welcome to Unscripted.
Hi. I'm from Western New York, and I was calling because my husband and I were just flabbergasted with recent announcements that they're going to close a lot of our parishes. And we have a local school, St. Benedict's, that has done so well and excelled, and there's a long waiting list, and it's physically joined to our parish, to the church. And they're talking about closing the building and keeping the school open. There is a huge link between school and church, and it's in the catechism, obviously. But another thing, as a nurse, I just feel people are still shaking in their boots, emerging from COVID, wearing masks in the store. And it's just mind-boggling. And I just feel they're making hasty decisions, and people are just blown out of the water. They'll send more people away, and it's just overwhelming.
Well, I wish I had better things to share about this, Anne, but I can tell you that closings and downsizing and shrinking and joining, you know, different dioceses together and partnering up and trying to serve the community, but to have less of the buildings and the structures and all the overhead. It's happening all across the country, actually across the world. And it's my heart breaks for you guys in the area. I know when these things happen and they start to close parishes, it really rocks the community, and it just makes people not know what to do and where to go. And then folks start to find other places to serve the needs. And then, you know, it splits up a parish community that has grown together. The only thing I can share is just knowing, because I worked at the parish level for many years, when these kinds of decisions happen, I can pretty much assure you it's not like they just check a box and say, okay, we're going to get rid of this parish, we're going to get rid of that parish. There's all these different things they look at, and it's very unfortunate. But I will tell you that, you know, you have that thriving school, which is fabulous. Typically, schools can be a drain on the parish because of the enrollment and things that it requires to keep the schools going. So, Monsignor Charles Pope did a fabulous explanation of this a couple weeks ago when the question was asked, you know, how do we respond? You know, should we be upset? What should we do? And he said, well, you know, to be honest with you, it's really not the church's fault like that. You know, they're not trying to hurt anybody. We don't have the bodies in the pews. We don't have the participation at parishes. We don't have the faith, you know, fully, and people are not fully engaged. Like you said, people are still kind of staying at home or being hesitant to come around and get involved in ministry life again. And so that's where the problem is too. It all factors in. The only thing that I could share to kind of give you maybe a little bit of maybe some peace is, I don't know if your diocese is doing any kind of town hall meetings or any type of statements or anything that they're trying to share with the communities in order to let them process this and figure out ways that they can work with it and still continue to have the sacraments and everything that they need available to them. I don't know if that's happening in your diocese. I know other dioceses are doing, like, you know, some bishops are doing town hall meetings and stuff like that. So I don't, do you want to make any more comments? My heart breaks. I wish I could say something better, but it's happening all around the country.
The only thing I want to say is that, you know, that some parishes are being closed because they've been operating in the black or operating in the red. And our parish has not, just 1 year, and they've doing so well. So they're, you know, funding is there, and I just feel that there's no meetings like you're talking about. The bishop will not even meet with the people, and it's just exasperating.
Well, okay, so then here's where you're at as the lay faithful. You don't let that rock your faith. Take it to the next level. God will provide. God has always provided for his people. And so when we are faced with situations that are out of our control, they're frustrating, like you're sharing, you know, we don't really have a voice to share our frustration in the diocese, then we go to prayer and we ask God to provide it in an even bigger way. And I have seen miracles. I'll tell you, Anne, I've seen miracles. I've seen, I'm not joking, Anne. I've seen, I without getting into the details, I saw a situation that was on the chopping block, and everybody just prayed. They were praying novenas. They were fasting. And wow, God just came in miraculously, and it was amazing. That's what we do, because whenever we're faced with hard situations that are out of our control, we don't let it rock our faith. We take it to the next level and let God magnificently provide. I just felt the Holy Spirit as I was sharing that with you, Anne. So I felt really strongly that this is coming from the Holy Spirit, and that's powerful. So, Anne, what do you say to that?
Thank you for the input and your perspective.
Okay, and we'll be with you in prayer. Anne, I put your diocese in our prayer book. I could feel the Holy Spirit on that, folks. I just want to share something with you. Sometimes, and it's kind of like what Amanda was saying about that priest that passed away during the homily, and he was giving a homily, and people felt like, you know, this is what really wasn't his voice. You know, where is this coming from? You'll find that when you are, when God wants a message out there, when God wants to reach his people, and that's why I believe he's doing it so beautifully and brilliantly through Catholic radio, the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit is tapping and telling people and sharing with people and informing people, and inspiring people. The Holy Spirit is moving. Always remember that. It's not the Holy Spirit. You don't think of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity that's just stuck there. The Holy Spirit is moving and trying to get all of us closer and closer to God. That's the name of the game. That's our goal. That's the prize, is to get back to God. So if somebody feels a prompting of the Spirit, act on it. Okay. I mean that sincerely. You know how many times I've said that during the show? I've said it probably hundreds of times in 9 years. And I said, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, call up. There's something you have to say. You know why? Because somebody is on the other side listening that is going to be receptive to that information. And it's going to change their mind, maybe their heart, maybe their soul, and get them closer to God. That's how the mystical body of Christ works. Let's not complicate things in any way, shape, or form. Let's keep it very simple, because God is a very direct God. I cannot stress it enough. I have seen this in over 35 years in ministry. So I'm not new to this. This is something I've been around for a long time in religious education. And every time the Spirit prompts, it's usually to help other souls, yourself and others around you. So please use this platform wisely. 833-288-3986. Okay, Kenny, I'm going to say hello to you, but the music's going to start in 1 minute. If I just want to say hello, because I don't want you to hang up. Kenny in Sylvester, Georgia, on, I believe it's WTOA radio. Hi, Kenny. I want to say hi, but the music's going to start. So welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you.
Good. So can you hang on for a little bit? Because we want to...
I sure can.
Oh, good. Thank you. Is it WTOA radio? Okay, good. All right. That's what you're listening on in Georgia. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Remember, folks, I'm a little bit compromised with my right eye. So actually, my left eye is kicking in pretty well. So that's good. I think I might have some guardian angel help here. The number to dial, we do have one open phone line for this June Unscripted, 833-288-3986. And the message just came into me, and they were asking me, Debbie, how can you smile so much and be so happy with, you know, you're functioning with one eye? Well, because I'm still vertical. And I'm still here, and there's work to be done. And the whole thing is, every time we are breathing and living in this world, we have an opportunity to get closer to heaven on this side of the veil, which makes that passing so much more seamless, like that beautiful Father Ed had in Michigan. So think about that, folks. Number to dial is 833-288-3986. And I'll be right back talking with Kenny from Georgia. This is our June Unscripted for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Jerry will be back tomorrow. We're going to be doing that punctuation mark show. It's going to be really cool. If you were a punctuation mark, what would it be? You know, it's kind of interesting. So where we are going with that is, like, you know, let's say you lived your whole life very confused, so you would be a question mark, right? Let's say you lived your whole life you know, real passionate and excited about life, you would be an exclamation mark, you know, see that type of thing. So if you're very direct, you know, you get the picture. So it'll be a really cool show tomorrow. But you have me today for Unscripted. We're talking with Kenny in Sylvester, Georgia. And Kenny, welcome again to Unscripted.
Thank you.
Go right
ahead,
sir.
My question is, why so many religious groups say all you have to do to be saved and go to heaven is believe? That's not what the scripture teaches.
So would you like to share more about that, just when you said that's not what scripture teaches?
I absolutely would.
Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah. The Bible has a basic plan of salvation. You have to hear it, believe it, repent, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Romans, the 6th chapter, 1 through 12, explains it very clearly. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us, not the cleansing of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you search the scriptures and it says that you have to work out your own salvation, when you do, you have to rightly divide the word of God. And when you do that, you come up with what God says you need to do. In Matthew 7:20 and 21, it states, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and done many wonderful works? And he'll say, I know you not. And so that is the message that I have for today. So many groups just say all you have to do to believe. The Bible does say, if you believe, you shall be saved. But when you believe, you search the scriptures and you find out what the truth is. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Baptism is how we reenact that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and how we become a new creature in Christ. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, my first comment is you definitely know your scripture. That's wonderful. Kenny, are you Catholic?
No, ma'am. I am okay. A member of the Church of Christ, and you cannot join Christ Church. You have to be added to it, as Acts 22:16 says. Wrong scripture for that one. Anyway, you cannot join Christ Church. You have to be added to it through the gospel.
Okay, so Kenny, are you in ministry at your church?
Well, I do jail ministry, but that's it. I just do that. I used to be a deacon, but my wife died, so then I was no longer qualified to be a deacon.
Okay, I'm curious. Yeah, so before I get to your comments about those that just say, you know, you're believe in Jesus and you're saved. May I ask? You're listening to Catholic radio. Is this the first time you called in to Take Two?
Yeah, I was traveling to Alabama to visit my children, and I didn't get good reception on the radio, so I just turned the digital dial until I got reception, and your station is the one that came up.
Wow. Wow, that is so cool. So you've never listened to Catholic radio before?
No.
Oh,
no.
My goodness, Kenny. Well, welcome to the family here. We're a lot of fun, and we learn a lot. We dive into scripture, and it's pretty cool. We have a wonderful worldwide platform. So you just shared it with a very big audience, which is wonderful. But may I ask, so your concern is that folks that just think this way are getting a half-truth? Is that what's your goal of wanting to get this out, just to get people to really dive into scripture and read it? You know, cover to cover, because it's one book, and to really understand it better for their own salvation?
What I try to tell people is that you have to follow the scriptures the way they are stated, and if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you will not get all the scripture that you need. You can't just take one scripture and say, this is all I need to do.
Sure.
And so when you Romans 10:17 is hearing a word. Luke, well, I won't go through all those.
Right.
Anyway.
We got it. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think it shows that you care very much. I mean, obviously you want everybody to come to the fullness of truth and to understand what God's plan is for us and how, you know, and would you agree, Kenny, that we came from God and we're, our goal is to get back to God. So we really do need to dive into scripture deeply and understand it so that it can get us back to God. We don't want to be fed, you know, things out of context or things that are just partial truths, because we may be relying on them, and then when we get to the pearly gates, we may be, you know, pretty shocked that it wasn't that way. What do you say to that?
Do you know where you'll go when you die, where your soul goes?
Would you like to share with us?
And if you go to Lazarus and the rich man in the scriptures, the rich man went to torment and Lazarus went to paradise. Mm-hmm. So before the judgment, that's where each person's soul will go, one or the other place, depending on whether they are in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so you're, yes, and you're quoting from scripture, and but see, Kenny, our Christian brothers and sisters, you know, they do have an understanding and a really deep desire to please God. And once they give their life to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they do want to get to heaven. They don't want to be forever separated from God and be in any type of eternal damnation. So that's a beautiful thing with our Christian brothers and sisters. Now, what you're talking about is for people to get the fullness of it, of the truth, of God's commands, of God's understanding of how to get back to Him. Well, that comes with people investing themselves and to go deeper. Do you know what happens, Kenny, when people typically are in non-denominational churches or other churches, Christian denominations, and they start exploring, especially the Catholic faith, and they go back to the St. Augustine, they go back to St. Thomas Aquinas, they go back to our church doctors. We've got a saint today, St. Cyril of Alexandria, a doctor of the church. They go into scripture deeply and they find themselves working their way home, typically to the Catholic Church. Happens all the time. May I ask your comments on that?
Well, the Catholic Church is not, the Catholic Church is a denomination.
Hold on, Kenny. We direct our origins directly back to Jesus, who's given the keys to Peter. So we're not a denomination. The denominations came off of us. Just wanted to share that. Not to debate, but
the Catholic Church was started in year 606.
Right. Right. Okay. But Kenny, hold on a second. And this is a fascinating discussion. We could probably take a whole hour on this, but I want to point you to a couple things because you just tuned in to Catholic Radio. We have several shows like Open Line during the afternoon that have fabulous questions and answers from our wonderful hosts that are a different host every day. Fabulous priests. And it's amazing. We have Call to Communion, Kenny. Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. You can get into a very deep theological debate with Dr. David Anders, I can assure you. I don't want to cut this short, but let me just share something with you. I can assure you that Dr. David Anders and other theologians will point you back to the origins of the Catholic Church, tracing right back to Jesus, Peter, and the apostles. So I would love for you to take that time. I'm not trying to cut you short, only because we have full phone lines plus. But Kenny, you're amazing. There's no accident you tuned in. I love your prison ministry work. I love the fact that you love the Bible so deeply and you want everybody to have the fullness of the Bible. I'm going to point you to Dr. David Anders, who loves talking to folks just like yourself and will spend a ton of time, and you guys will get into a super fun conversation about it. So Kenny, I have to let you go on that. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off, but like I said, it's just me today. Jerry's going to be back tomorrow, but Kenny, Dr. David Anders, Call to Communion, and he will definitely definitely share with you the origins of the Catholic faith and what we believe as Catholic Christians. But I love that you're part of the family. Okay, I'm going to have to move to Denise in St. Charles, Illinois, who's been waiting so patiently. Sirius XM 130. Denise has, oh, drum roll, a praise report. Hi, Denise.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Denise. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't catch the answer so quickly. All right. Yes. Well, I have a son who just turned 46 in June, and he has been in a very dark place since his teens. Been through, you know, police trouble. He's been involved in gangs, and then he finally got himself free from drug use and, you know, all that. And then he got married, and it was a very toxic marriage. Found out that they were having, it was not a marriage that should have ever happened. Mm-hmm. Did have two children out of there, and then he got divorced. Anyway, I've been praying for years and years and years, and he is trying to make, you know, always been building himself up, never wanting to be in that dark place, but never really reaching back out to where he needed to reach, and that was to his faith. So just about 6 weeks ago, he came to me and finally said, "I'm ready, Mom." And all of the information that I kept for him, wow, a wonderful priest to call, ministries for him to, you know, try out, he did. And
oh,
my son,
Denise,
is now going to Mass, and he's just a part of his faith right now. Mm-hmm. He's just changing before our eyes. My prayers have been answered. It's taken a long, long time, but I think it's St. Monica,
yeah,
and how long she prayed. And I know that God has a wonderful purpose for him. And so, you know, I want him in the prayer book, of course, because he's going to need prayers. I'm sure there's going to be evil surrounding him trying to get him back.
Sure.
But, you know, mm-hmm, he right now is very dedicated to getting back to his faith.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise report. I put your son in the book. We're going to pray for your son. You don't have to give us his first name if you want to protect his privacy, unless you feel you want to. God knows who Denise's son is. Your prayers worked. They continue to work. Denise, keep those, obviously you know this, but keep those prayers around him, and bring in some fasting to keep everything, you know, at all the, you know, the demons at bay, you know, to keep them away from your son, you know, put that protection around him in prayer, continue that. If you can get him a Saint Benedict medal that he could wear, or he could keep it with him in his bedroom, make sure you have it blessed by a priest, and it very powerful. This is huge, huge, but you're spot on. The demons don't like it. They don't want him back. They don't want him back in Holy Mother Church. So what we got to do is, as a body of believers, we've got to surround your son in prayer, continued prayer. We love St. Monica, love all the saints. They always help us. But we, as you know, because Denise, you held it firm in faith, and your prayers, definitely, and your family's prayers were answered for your son. But we have to continue. So let's do this together, and let's continue to surround your son so he can have his best grace-filled life. What do you say?
Oh, I'm all for it. Yes, absolutely. And yes, I do like to add fasting in with anything that I'm praying for, you know, good, because I do know that works. It works wondrous. Right. It's awesome. And thank you so much for taking my call and for putting him in the book. And I hope to call you back with a better praise report soon.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, I've just put you in the book. I double checked. You're in, and we'll be praying. And yes, always stay in touch with us. Denise, thank you for that praise report. Praise be to God. Everybody should be putting their hands up in the air and saying, thank you, Jesus. We love to bring our family members home. So that's huge. Okay. I'm going to move to, let me do this first, before I get to Mary in Western Kentucky. She's on Savior Radio Network. Let me go to one more highlight for our Take Two family. Join us for the world over tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and TV. Tonight on the world over with Raymond Arroyo, Dr. Waleed Faris, a Middle East policy expert, discusses the current state of the Israel Palestine conflict, and Willie Robertson, CEO of Duck Commander, talks about faith, family, and business, as well as his new book, Gospeler, about everyday evangelization. Wow, that's cool. Gospeler. Yeah, that is so cool. Everyday evangelization. I love that. And the Israel-Palestine conflict, I hope that everyone is continuing to pray. I know we have it at the top of our prayer book as well. So that should be a very interesting show tonight. And we can learn a lot and add, like we were talking about with Denise, add maybe some fasting or an additional rosary for the what's going on in the Middle East. Okay, I'm going to go to Mary in Western Kentucky. And Mary's been waiting so patiently. Welcome to Unscripted, Mary.
Hi. I just want to give like a thank you and a praise.
Go right ahead.
I've been listening to EWTN on many platforms for a long time, and God works so well. One thing is I listen on the way to school and pray the daily prayer because it just works out in God's timing that I can do that before school on my way. And when I'm listening on the way to school or I'm listening on the way home from school, it's neat how there's a God incident. It's almost always about either something I'm dealing with personally or something that the kiddos and I are talking about. Either we just talked about it that day or we talked about it the day before, or it's something that comes up the following day, you know. And another thing is that when I would listen on the way to my parents' house to go help take care of them because my dad had a health crisis, EWTN was always there, you know. And so that and being surrounded by prayer support and my friends, my parishioners, that got me through things that, you know, was really hard for my parents to deal with, my family to deal with. And so, you know, trying to recognize God's perfect timing, like my hours were cut just in time where I wasn't working as many days,
right?
But that led me to be able to help my family through my dad's health crisis, and then through my dad's death, helping my mom after that, you know, and whether I was driving to my mom or returning home, and you know, you have those moments where you're like, God, I just can't. I can't do this. You got to send help. And I would turn on the radio, and if I was in coverage of a station, it would, whatever they were saying, addressed my need. Or if we weren't in coverage, it would be a Caleb song that would pop up, you know?
Right, right. But Mary, can I just jump in here? Because what you're saying is so spot on, and I just want all of our listeners to really listen to your story and how you're thanking God for the fact that God is reaching each and every one of us as a body of believers, but also individually, and God is meeting and being there for us when we need Him most through media, through music. God is trying His hardest. I believe this. To reach us. So when we feel that, like you have felt on multiple occasions, we have to constantly remind ourselves every single day. Why? Because it goes back to what Denise was saying about her son. You know, the demons are gonna try to attack everything that that keeps us connected to God. They're gonna try their hardest. So we have to remind ourselves of what you just did on this call. We have to say God was there for us every time, you know, you were talking to your kids about situations. God spoke to you. God was there. He is there. That's the connection that Blessed Carlo Acutis knew. He was trying to tell the whole world about Eucharistic miracles. He was trying to, in his 15 years, live his life to show and prove that that's what it was all about, connection with God and God's connecting with us. Mary, you're blessed, and I pray that you continue to remind you and your family members, everybody around you, how God is tapping us and reaching us each and every day. There's no doubt about it. He has never abandoned us. We are marked for Christ. He's got us. He wants us. He wants all of us, and he's constantly wanting to connect with us. We just have to remember and connect with him. What do you say, real quickly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's no doubt in my mind that if it weren't for the sacrament, for I have a weekly adoration hour, mm-hmm. and there's been times, you know, in those struggle days, like when my sister called and said, you need to come home as soon as possible. I felt like I was not being drugged, but the Holy Spirit was saying, go to Jesus. And I went to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament there in the Adoration Chapel. And, you know, God had one of my friends there. I didn't know it was her Adoration Hour. And this happened twice within 2 weeks, where I got the phone call, and I was like, I have to go to him. Mm-hmm. And my friend was there and gave me a hug. And, you know, I'm sobbing feet away from Jesus and getting comforted by human arms. Before all this happened was the shutdown. Well, I happened to be working a Curcio weekend right before the shutdown, literally.
Wow.
Had the closing on Sunday. Monday we went to school, and Monday or Tuesday we found out we were going to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same amount of time, we found out that my dad's cancer, that my dad had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you know anything about Curcio, it's full of the sacraments. And so I know that without being able to go to Mass after that, mm-hmm. God arranged it for me to get the graces I needed.
To
go through all of that.
Yeah.
And me being the stubborn person I am, even though we were not allowed to go into the church for Eucharistic adoration, mm-hmm. my prayer partner and I were like, well, they can't keep us from going to the parking lot. So we would stay in our cars.
Right.
And
so you
park
got close
as
close
to
Jesus.
To the tabernacle as we could.
Yeah. No, Mary, you're precious. I love it. I love what you're sharing, and it's important. We need to hear it. We got a lot of new listeners, like Kenny's listening right now from Georgia. So it's powerful. Mary, God bless you. I have to let you go at that. I'm going to run out of time. I'm trying to get to more calls. You're amazing. Keep in touch with us. Mike sent this in on YouTube. I'm waving to you, Mike. Mike, I've got you in the prayer book. He said, hey, Debbie, I hope you're having a blessed day. I just got out of prison, and my adopted children don't love me anymore. Also, I don't know if I can forgive after what happened to me in prison. Could you please add my name to the prayer book? Absolutely, Mike. Do you? I hope you can see me on camera. Mike, we are praying round the clock. Please don't lose hope. Please know that God has a plan. Please keep getting deeper with God. Please, Mike, stay close to Jesus. Read your scripture every day, like Kenny does prison ministry. So he knows all about that. Stay rooted in scripture. And please, Mike, know that the prayers are around you. Also, too, for our new family member, Kenny in Georgia, after this show is Dr. Ray Guarendi. He's wonderful to listen to, Kenny. I hope you can still stay tuned in to EWTN Radio. But right after Dr. Ray is the show I was talking about, Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders. So please, Kenny, maybe you can call in there or listen to that show and become familiar with it. Real quickly, I've got 30 seconds. Shirley in Pennsylvania, JMJ Radio. Shirley, I'm so sorry. I've got 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Debbie. I'm Catholic and always been proud to be so, but I had an experience at a funeral home where I was very embarrassed and ashamed. The decedent there, she in a Catholic nursing home. She was not Catholic. And the two nuns that came to the viewing made a scene there because there was no kneeler. So they fussed to the family, well, we have to kneel and pray for her. Well, the family went and got the funeral director, and they put the kneeler in, And then they prayed, and I thought, this is wrong, because here's prayer standing and kneeling. It's the only time I was ever really ashamed to say, yeah, I'm Catholic. And people don't normally act like that.
Right. I understand that. But you know what, Shirley? It happens. But there's times that we're like, oh, why does it have to be so rigid like that and things like that? But, you know, we pray for them. They just, people are where they're at with different ranges of Catholicism. And so we go with it. But I hear you. I mean, sometimes I scratch my head sometimes with fellow Catholics as well, especially when they say this pew in the church is mine or something like that. I'm like, really? Okay, I didn't know your name was on it. But so we could talk more about that on a future show, Shirley. And God bless you for calling in. Michael in Texas and Marlene in Massachusetts. I'm not going to get to you, but there's always, God willing, a July Unscripted. So you can call back then. Jerry will be back tomorrow. And thank you to the show team. Thank you, affiliates. Until tomorrow. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.